You're listening to All Action Sports Radio.
This is the Dingo.
Justin Barsha.
Gus Kenworthy.
Kristen Moore.
Paul Rodriguez, a.k.a. P-Rod. And you're listening to All Action Sports Radio. Peace.
All right. Welcome to All Action Sports Radio. We have another great show for you this week here on All Action Sports Radio and allactionsportsradio.com. I'm Wes. I'm your host. And we have a jam-packed show today. And our song of the week is absolutely killer. I usually mention our song of the week last, but this week I'm going all out and dropping it first. Kate Tempest, Lonely Days. This thing is the bomb. We're breaking it first here at All Action Sports Radio. You want to stick around later in our segment, we have our song of the week, Kate Tempest, Lonely Days. And coming up, we have big wave surfer Alex Gray. He's stopping by All Action Sports Radio. I'm super stoked on that. And we have Jules Lynn, world champion skateboarder. She's also stopping by All Action Sports Radio. I'm just pumped to get Jules on the show. She has, I guess, 2014 is her year. I mean, she's just kicking butt. She won the combi pool just a month, 2 months ago. And she just got back from Sweden, so we're looking forward to having her on the show. And, of course, we'll be talking to Ryan Simmons in our surf segment, which will be a little bit later. But before we get to all of that, the Be the Change, the Sheckler Foundation, they had the four finalists. Ryan Sheckler's mom came on last week, and she talked about the four finalists. And this past week, they voted. Well, you, the people, voted, and we helped get that initiative out there with the vote. And we have the winner for Be the Change, and she's on the line right now, Madison Steiner. Madison, congratulations on your win.
Thank you.
Now, Madison, are you there, Madison?
Yes.
You beat out three other really, really amazing companies that are all changing the world, and we're really honored to have you on our show because you are the founder and owner of Peaches Neat Feet, custom hand-painted shoes that are made for kids fighting through serious illnesses. And what do you plan on doing with the money that you just received from the Sheckler Foundation?
Well, we're hoping to continue supplying shoes to kids. That's what our main focus is, and also random acts of kindness and art. So we'd love to see, to be able to get out more in the community and do what we call the Peach Outreach Party, where we bring art and fun activities into hospitals and other communities. We'd love to combine it with skating. I have a lot of kids in wheelchairs that love to go to skate parks and skate around and roll around, and they call it wheelchair skating. And, you know, some of our kids with cancer we work with love to go to skate parks, so I'd love to do some collaboration there and maybe find a way to really combine all those communities and bring in some art, maybe paint some skateboard decks, spend some time at the park, and just have a good time.
We're on the line with Madison Steiner. She is the founder and owner of Peaches Neat Feet, custom hand-painted shoes that are made for kids fighting through serious illnesses. And she just won the Be the Change from the Ryan Sheckler Foundation. Madison, how can people find out more about your organization or maybe donate shoes or money? How can they do that?
Through our website, www.peachesneatfeet.com is the best way. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Now, what's next for you now that you've guys got this newfound cash?
Well, I guess we'll see how far we can reach. We have a lot of volunteers. We have 38 artists that volunteer their time, so we're always welcoming new artists.
Oh, amazing.
Shoes. We would love to see more support in the communities all over the U.S. We have our shoes going everywhere, so people getting involved, whatever way they can, people paying it forward, even if it's not with us. We always encourage people to do random acts of kindness, go out and do something in their community, and maybe with some of this money, we can get out there and do it with them. And
that's excellent, you know. Madison. And we here at All Action Sports Radio absolutely support you. So any way we can help you, if you want to post stuff on our Facebook or Instagram, Twitter, any of those things, on our website, we'd love to help you out. Peaches Neat Feet, custom hand-painted shoes that are made for kids fighting through serious illnesses. Just amazing just that you've taken the time out of your life to do something good and pay it forward and change the lives of so many wonderful people. I want to thank you for coming on All Action Sports Radio to spread the word. And I want to thank Gretchen from the Ryan Sheckler Foundation for, you know, making it happen.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Madison Steiner, founder and owner of Peaches Neat Feet and winner of Be the Change from the Ryan Sheckler Foundation. Up next, we have Jason Weingand from RacerX Online, and we're going to be talking about Detroit, Toronto, and a whole lot of James Stewart next on All Action Sports Radio. And we're now on the line with Jason Weingand, RacerX Online editor, who also hosts the TV broadcast of Lucas Oil AMA Motocross and the GNCC series, the largest and one of the most prestigious off-road racing series in the U.S. Jason, what a week it's been.
Yeah, absolutely. James Stewart, back. You never know, man.
You never know. Here's a guy who came in 12th, was a non-factor. And then, boom, out of nowhere, Detroit, there he is. And not only did he claim his third win of the season, he tied Ricky Carmichael for second on the all-time Supercross wins. I mean, with 48. That's quite an accomplishment, you know, for any rider.
Yeah, you know, the thing about James is just he had some really bad luck and stupid things happen the last few races. He had won two in a row, was riding as good as anyone, maybe better than anybody. And then he had a crash on the first lap in Atlanta. A crash in the first turn at Indy, and then the most million-to-one odds ever, Michael Lessie's handlebar, and what's the width of the handlebar, 2 inches, happened to collide with James' exhaust pipe, which is also about 2 inches wide. So, talking about a racetrack about 10 feet wide, and they both hit the same exact 2-inch part, and that ruined James' race in Daytona. So maybe this was stupid to think he was out, because he had three races where he just didn't have a chance, but riding-wise, he was good. So once he had good luck again, he wins again.
Hey, let me ask you a question. This is totally off the cuff. It's not part of my notes. Can he use the Ryan Dungey strategy to stay in the mix for the championships? I mean, kind of play this out for me. Can he just stay in the hunt and still have a chance, or does he have to win to beat Villopoto?
He's got to win. He's too many points behind right now. Plus, you have to do something at this point to kind of rattle the cages, because Villopoto, I don't think Villo is happy about only winning three races this deep into the season. But not winning and just being consistent has given him the points lead. I think if you're Stewart or anyone else, you have to just try to keep winning races, and hopefully that frustrates Villopoto enough to where he screws something up. You know, it's like he'll really want to go for a win one of these weeks, and maybe he'll push too hard. I don't think Villopoto's not trying, but I think at the same time, you have to give him some incentive to take unnecessary risks and force him into a mistake. And I think if you're Stewart, if you keep winning a bunch of races, Villopoto's just not going to be pumped on that. And maybe that would lead to him doing something crazy, although he's won three titles in a row. He's usually pretty good at managing it, but you got to go for it.
Well, Jason, that's what I'm saying. Are James Stewart's managers, his handlers, going, look, just get a third, get a second, don't go crazy, you know, trying to go, you know, let's avoid Cal at all costs, let Villopoto take the risk, and maybe you'll just come out on top. Do you play it safe, or you just keep going for it each race?
No, I think now you have to go for it. I think they were playing it safe at the beginning of the year. He was taking what he could get, but then the bad luck he's had at a couple of these and the crashes and stuff that have cost him points, it's not going to get you anywhere. You now have to do what it takes to get Villopoto mad. And I'd say, let's say Stewart wins again. He'll win two in a row if he wins this weekend. You got to think by the third race, Villopoto is going to say, I'm sick of getting beat by this guy. I want to beat him. And maybe that makes him take a risk that he shouldn't take.
So, Toronto, go all out. Try and get 49. Beat Ricky Carmichael.
Yeah.
That's the strategy?
That's it. Got to win. Got to win and put the pressure on the other guys.
There you go. Hey, once again, Dean Wilson was the fastest in qualifying and for 2-2 Motorsports. I thought he was super impressive, but he ran out of gas again, right?
He's got a problem with the arm pump. He gets tense during the race, his arms pump up. He's had the problem all year long, and it's a disaster. I don't know. It's been going on since January, so it doesn't look like the fix is coming anytime soon, and that's really bad.
So there's no quick fix for him?
I think if it was going to be fixed quickly, again, they would have had it fixed at the first race of the year right after New Year's, so this is a real issue. I think it's got to be either diet or training or something. But, you know, I talked to Chad Reed, who's running that team that Dean's riding on right now, and he's like, the sad thing is, if it hasn't been fixed in 3 months, I mean, it's not the kind of thing you're going to fix in a couple of days, you know?
No, we've seen behind the moto, those guys, how hard they work out and the things they do to stay in shape and get there. If he's not there, then the hope of him winning, you know, that just kind of went out the door until next season, right?
Yeah, I think so. Well, but it's really going to come down to for him. He's not going to win the 250 Supercross title unless there's huge bad luck for other guys. And this 450 thing is just a kind of a tryout. Mm-hmm. So the real focus for Dean is going to be motocross. That starts in the middle of May. So that's what he's got to get this thing sorted out by. That gives him two more months, basically, to get this figured out. That's when it's really going to hurt. The other titles and races are kind of gone anyway. But he'll lose another title if he can't figure this out by the springtime.
Got it. All right, for Toronto, Jason, who do you got? 10 seconds.
Let's go James Stewart again. Keep that pressure on.
Oh, yeah? James Stewart again? You going there? I thought you were going
to... I mean, the last three races he hasn't crashed in, he's won. Although, I guess that's what we always say about James Stewart, right?
I thought you were going to pull out a Ken Roczen. You know, because I was feeling a little Ken Roczen today. You know? I was feeling a little Ken Roczen. I don't know why.
He's got a little... the momentum's not on his side, man. He's had a couple of bad races. He tends to shrug that off pretty good, but, you know, when it's not going your way in racing, it's not going your way sometimes. It's hard to pull out of that.
I like the young guns. All right, Jason Wyngant, RacerX Online. Thank you so much for being part of our show. Coming up, we have big wave surfer Alex Gray. All right, we're back here at All Action Sports Radio. I want to give a big shout-out and a big thank you to WFLA 100.7 FM in Tallahassee, Florida. Thank you for being a part of All Action Sports Radio each and every week. All right, he's a pro surfer, world traveler, comedian, ladies' man, nudist, lobster diver, yoga god, paddler, and he just finished winning the Dive and Surf Big Wave World Tour Surf Contest. He is the one and only big wave surfer, Manhattan Beach alum. Can I go on? Alex Gray.
I just like that there's a nudist in there. In my profile, apparently to the world, I'm a nudist. That's amazing.
Yes, that came from your profile. That's all over the web. That you're a ladies' man, nudist, lobster diver, yoga god, paddler. Now, it pro surfer is first, you know, but it gets lost in the ladies' man, nudist, lobster diver, yoga as it goes on and on.
I guess it's all good. Within there, we're having a lot of fun. That's all that counts.
That's all that counts, man. You're a fun guy. Congratulations from all of us here at All Action Sports Radio for winning the Dive and Surf Big Wave competition in Oregon.
Oh, right on. Thank you guys so much. It was, I think my favorite thing is the coincidence that Dive and Surf and Body Glove was my first sponsor at 11 years old, and they're kind of starting to save the Big Wave World Tour. They now sponsor three events, and mm-hmm. the Nelscott is one of those. It's the first time that I've competed in an event. I'm invited to about three or four of them, but as that tour goes, they will only run the event if the waves get big. And within a year, if they don't get big enough, they won't run it at all. And that's the way it goes. So you cross your fingers when you get invited to these events that Mother Nature cooperates, and you get to put a jersey on. And for me to get a win in my first ever Big Wave World Tour event, you know, it's just great.
And, you know, Alex, and that's took me by surprise. And I guess, you know, for other people or maybe our listeners, I thought you were competing on the Big Wave Tour, and this to be your first one was kind of a surprise to me.
Oh, well, you know, the way it works, it's all based off of invites, and each event has its own panel of judges and basically people who are watching that specific wave throughout the years, you know, the year prior, and they kind of decide who's worthy to put a jersey on or not. And so, you know, that's the way it is, and the people picking the surfers are the most respected guys at that break, and you know, it's really all about putting your time in and keeping your head down. And you know, eventually, I think, you know, through time and effort, you get invited to these events, and they're prestigious in that way.
Oh, they're phenomenal. And, absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, look, and, you know, it becomes even more of an honor. You get picked by your heroes to put a jersey on at one of your favorite waves, and there's so many dynamics to the Big Wave World Tour. I personally believe it's the future of competitive surfing. It's so fresh. It's so roots. There's so much soul involved still that it was so enjoyable. I literally had one of the best days of my life without knowing I had won yet. You know, when the contest was over, I looked up and I'm like, man, that was one of the most fun days I've ever had. You know, and then they announced that I won, and I'm like, holy crap, there's the icing on the cake.
It just got better.
Yeah.
Well, you know, stranger to competition, you were on the tour, the WQS, and you were doing fine until you got sick, which is a well-known
right.
fact. And ASP, you know, being ASP, stripped you of all your points and,
right.
and made you a scallywag.
When it first happened, I looked at it that way, and I was really upset and angry for about a year. And, you know, 5 years later, it turned into the biggest blessing in disguise for me. It rerouted me to being a 100% free surfer, getting to travel the world 9 months out of the year on my sponsor's dollar to all my dream waves. I mean, the waves when I first started surfing, you know, it's the waves you're looking at magazines and you go in school, and when you're supposed to be doing your schoolwork, you're drawing them on paper, and I get to call that a living now and get to do it without a jersey on. And for me, I found my favorite way of surfing ever, and that's without a jersey. And I didn't know that if I had have had a few hiccups along the way. So, well, yeah, it was an unfortunate circumstance that I spun around, and really now want to say thanks to the ASP for screwing me over, because I live the best life ever.
Well, one door opens, one door closes, another opens. Look, I want to talk to you about when you went surfing in Wyoming. But before that, I just wanted to talk to you a little bit more about your recent win. Was there any controversy about the weight of the boards?
I heard that Greg Long especially was noting about the weight and saying that my board was, you know, maybe double as heavy as his. And, you know, a lot of my boards I make specifically for Mavericks and Jaws. And mm-hmm. those waves, typically those storms are so close to the reefs that there is a lot of wind and bump associated. So the weight really helps to keep the board stuck down on the wave rather than it picking up and you flying in the air when you wish you were going down the face of the wave.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically the worst-case scenario, big wave surfing. And so Channel Islands and I, we put more weight into the board, and it seems to help. I feel like it helps with paddling. I feel like it helps you paddle faster, and especially at Oregon when that, you know, 25-knot north wind picked up, it was either you know, the demise of surfers or, you know, the surprise of surfers. And I feel like I probably had the best equipment for that event for sure.
Yeah, you know, Greg Long, you know, he was a competitor and then ended up being a commentator. And he said that the estimated weight of your board, 25 pounds, gave you an advantage, you know, with the wind and the water versus the lighter.
Yeah, you know, it's so fun. Being able to ride for Channel Islands, I get to be hands-on and really work with my equipment. And with any athlete, you're only as good as your equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And lately I've just realized, hey, the smartest thing to do is know exactly what you're riding and be in tune with it. Channel Islands have given me a very nice opportunity to kind of try an array of big boards. I have a great quiver right now of about, 8 to 10 boards over 9 feet, which is pretty much unheard of.
Yeah.
So I'm in a really fortunate position right now, and I think the win was a reflection of having probably the best equipment in the world.
And that's how you got it done. You listen to All Action Sports Radio, and we're on the line with Alex Gregg, big wave surfer, and just came off his first win on the Big Wave World Tour at the Dive and Surf Big Wave competition at Nelscott Reef. Listen, you surfed a river. And
yeah,
and in Wyoming, and I just absolutely loved when those kayakers came by and you're surfing against the water. It was amazing. That I had not seen that before. I mean, Alex Gray, how did you find that? It was called the lunch counter rapid.
I went there for a body glove trip about 3 or 4 years ago, and we had such a blast. And then through Volcom and actually Instagram, I was watching professional snowboarder Brian Aguchi, who lives in Wyoming right there, and surfs that lunch counter rapid almost every day when the river flows. And he was posting all these shots, and I was sitting in Los Angeles just flat in the summer losing my mind. I'm like, God, this guy's having more fun than anyone. So literally just through Instagram, I hit him up and went, hey, man, do you mind if I come over and join you? And we exchanged numbers, and 2 days later, I was on a flight over, and he picked me up, and I stayed at his house for 2 days. And, yeah, we surfed the Lunch Counter Rapid, which is typically ridden by kayaks and whitewater rafting. And so it's really funny on the surfboard where you see six people with oars coming down a
absolutely
an inflatable raft.
And
they're screaming at you to get out of the way, and I was just laughing. I was trying to high-five them. They were pissed.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, please go to our website or check out our Facebook page. You see Alex Gray just surfing a river, a rapid, you know, the Lunch Counter Rapids. Absolutely amazing. Hey, Alex, we got to get out in my last 5 seconds. You have your own pro bottle. You are a stud. Your own pro bottle.
You.
Mizu.
If you can, please check out turkeymelt.com. All those webisodes are for my blog, Turkey Melt. So, yeah, give it a look.
Okay, turkeymelt.com. We'll check it out. Alex Gray, thank you for being a part of our show. Coming up, we have world champion skateboarder Jules Lind, just back from Sweden. Before the window of opportunity closed up, I came, I saw, I conquered, I'm bald. Yeah, I came, I saw, I conquered, I'm bald. Yeah. Yo, he said get them, so I got them all. Yeah. And turn this bitch into a barrier. All right, you listen to All Action Sports Radio and allactionsportsradio.com. Don't forget, you can email us at allactionsportsradio@gmail.com, and you can call at 855-892-9606, and Twitter is at allactionsportnos. All right, we're coming into our next segment, 16 straight pro competition victories, ranked number one in World Cup skateboarding. She just finished winning the Vans Combi Pool Bowl, and she just got back from Sweden, and she is on the line. World champion skateboarder Jules Lind. Jules, welcome to All Action Sports Radio.
Hey, how's it going?
It's good. Good morning. I guess you got back from Sweden, and I guess you're a little jet-lagged?
Yeah, definitely. I actually just woke up from a nap. I've been trying to catch up on some rest. Sweden was amazing. I was out there for the Vert Attack 8 event, the first ever Vert Linda, which is translated for women's vert. And, yeah, it was amazing out there. Such a good time, so much energy. Just came off of a win at the Vans Combi Pool Classic for the girls and took back my title at home. Just won the overall title last year for 2013. Everything's going amazing right now.
This is the year of Jules, 2014. This is your year. This is your day.
Yeah, definitely. I'm on fire right now for my skateboarding. I'm loving it.
Absolutely. And you know what? Speaking of your skateboarding, you know, for me, Wes, your host here at All Action Sports Radio, you are really smooth. I love your lines and your transitions. I just love the way you get around a pool. You know, we do the show, we do research, we watch videos and different things. And I was just struck about how smooth you are cruising through the pool. How long have you been riding pools?
Basically, I've been skateboarding altogether. It'll be 11 years this October. And I've been skating pools that whole time. I grew up watching my dad in his home videos, basically skating pools when there was a drought during the 80s. And that's what I grew up kind of looking up to, was all the pool skating that all the pros did. And I just love the way it feels. I tried to get in the street. It's kind of difficult for me with the technicality, but something about pools, just going fast and being able to get creative and put together a line and throw your tricks in there. And it really takes like a creative mind, I feel like. And I just love how fast you get to go and boosting big airs and going super fast.
Well, you know, Jules, you know, watching you and just seeing how you go, I think if anyone can get girls back into the X Games, you know, with skateboarding, it would be you.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, we had the girls' super park last year in Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time they've had the girls back, super park too, which is my forte. And I unfortunately injured my knee in the middle of the contest, but we definitely tried to create some hype out there. I brought a bunch of stickers for the crowd, brought all my Alchemy water stickers, my Silly Girl skateboard stickers, Bones wheel stickers, S1 stickers, at knees, and just threw it all out to the crowd. I gave away my helmet. I gave away my jersey, and they were so hyped, and I thought for sure that the energy that we created there would bring us back this year, but unfortunately, I believe they're putting in a female wakeboarding event instead, if that's the rumor I've heard.
Well, so, that's probably true, Jules. I know Austin very, very well, and wakeboarding is huge there. I mean, I think they're doing it for more political reasons than practical, but wakeboarding is absolutely huge in Austin. And so if they're trying to supplement girls skateboarding, you know, for that, I get why they're doing it, but I really would rather see, you know, the girls going after it, because I know you guys ride hard and I know you go big. So, I mean, that's just big ESPN.
Definitely. Hey, we worked super hard all year long skating and killing ourselves for this, and it's so much fun. I love it, and it's so awesome to have opportunities like that to be able to show our skills and try and get more females on skateboards, because the goal is to have as many female skaters as there are guy skaters. And that's the ultimate goal, I feel like, for me in skateboarding that I'm trying to accomplish.
That's a huge goal, and we're going to talk more about that. We're also going to talk about your concussions. Like, you have something like 33 concussions?
48 concussions.
Oh, my God. You know, we're going to talk more about that. And I know you're wearing a special helmet. And I know we want to talk about the helmet that you're wearing to help you with these concussions. And also, you know, get into that trek that you had going up to Oregon from California. We'll have that and more with Jules Lynn here on All Action Sports Radio and allactionsportsradio.com. Stay tuned. Now, he says there's none. All right, welcome back to All Action Sports Radio. We're on the line with world champion bowl skateboarder Jules Lynn. Jules, she just got back from Sweden, a little bit jet lagged, but she's taking a little bit of time out to talk to us here at All Action Sports Radio. Hey, Jules.
Yes.
Hey, back in July of 2012, you decided to skate from L.A. to Oregon, and you freely admitted that you were couch surfing and even homeless, and that was one of the reasons why you wanted to just get out and just see the world a little bit. How did that trek change your life, affect your life?
Well, basically, I was couch surfing at the time. It's a definite skateboarding lifestyle when you're traveling so much, and income isn't that steady for females especially. We don't get that much. And I just decided I'm tired of the boys. I'm tired of being at home and all the same thing. I wanted to go and raise some money for cancer and skate from the Huntington Beach Pier all the way to Portland and just go from park to park to park and sleep at parks and stoke out kids and bring them product and stuff. And it was one of the most incredible things in my life. It took a lot of endurance. I never rode a longboard before that point. And I thought, oh, yeah, you know, it's just going to be like skateboarding. The first hill I went down, I totally slammed in the middle of the night, smacked my head really good, probably one of the best concussions I've had. But I got up 30 minutes later and kept going. And, you know, I had the best time of my life. Some of the scariest moments, I faced my fears of the dark. And, dude, the skateboarding was just so amazing. And seeing how many people were stoked when you roll up into their town, into their skate park, and the kids are just so excited to skate and try and win some stickers and some wristbands and little product, you know? And it really just taught me how much skateboarding can get you anywhere. And it doesn't really matter what you have. If you keep going, there's going to be somebody along the way that could, you know, relate to you and talk to you and help you out, and don't really need much in this life but my skateboard. So,
Jules,
it was nice.
Jules, you're absolutely fascinating. You also raised awareness for the Keep Her Breast Foundation and Grind for Life, two charities that are dedicated to assisting people with cancer. I mean, with such a difficult childhood that you've had, the fact that you've given back in such a a huge and radical way is just really commendable. I have to say that I'm glad you're in a good place. I'm glad you have a roof over your head, and I'm glad you have a chance to see the world because, man, I just can't believe giving your past and how hard it's been to undertake a journey like that and be successful, you know, and then come back and skate and being able to win through all that mental difficulty that you have to face. I'm just so happy for you right now, and I'm so glad for your success.
Yeah, you know, my past actually encouraged me. When I was younger, a lot of the time, if it wasn't for my sponsors backing me and believing in me still and not giving up, even though I was facing through a lot, my dad kind of made it difficult for me coming up in skateboarding because he already had a past. And he liked to believe things he made up in his head about me and kind of put it out there that I was doing things that I wasn't. So I would always end up running away since the time I was 14 just so I could go skate by myself. And I used to stay behind dumpsters in L.A. just so I could go skate parks. And I knew that if I could do that, I'm sure that I could skate across the country, you know? If I can make it, nobody hassles me, and even if they did, you show them your skateboard, they're definitely not going to mess with you. Don't want to get a truck slap against the face. And, you know, just having those sponsors there is really what kept me in it, and the people that believed in me. If it wasn't for them, you know, I feel like I wouldn't have kept going because it is a really difficult place to be in mentally.
Jules, hold that thought. I'm up against a commercial break. I'm going to bring you back, and we're going to finish that in the next segment, okay?
Awesome.
All right, stay tuned. This is All Action Sports Radio. Okay, we're back here at All Action Sports Radio with world champions bowl skater Jules Lin. Jules, I didn't want to end on that note. I got about 30 seconds. Tell everybody where you're going to be coming up.
I will be at the Tampa Pro hanging out this weekend. Then we're headed over to the Florida Bowl Riders from the 28th through the 30th out here in Jacksonville and Atlantic Beach. And it's going to be an amazing event for the girls. There's going to be a little small get-together, and thanks to my sponsors for putting it out there, Alchemy Water, Silly Girl Skateboards, 187 Path, S1 Helmets, Etnie Shoes, and Black Fly Sunglasses. Thanks so much.
All right, perfect. We're going to get the word out. Jules, I love your story, and we're going to support you 100% here at All Action Sports Radio, and we're going to get the word out. You stay cool, and we'll see you soon, okay?
Yep, look forward to talking soon.
All right, you're listening to All Action Sports Radio. Coming up, we have Ryan Simmons and Surf, Surf, Surf here at All Action Sports Radio. And we're back with All Action Sports Radio. Man, hats off to Jules Lin, world champion pool bowl skateboarder. Man, what a tough life, and she just turned it all the way around. Great, great story. All right, we're now in our surf segment with our resident surf expert, Ryan Simmons. Ryan's on the line right now. Ryan, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Hey, Ryan, let's get to it, man. You know, it happened last year, probably happened the year before, and the year before that. The Brazilians win, and it becomes the year of the Brazilians. Here comes the Brazilians. They're going to take it all. They're going to win it all. And then, lo and behold, an Aussie or Kelly come flying out of nowhere and take the ASP title. Can this truly be the year of the Brazilians?
Well, I think that sooner than later it's going to happen, and we're going to see a Brazilian world champion. I mean, ever since Flavio Paterot's Fabio Gouveia, we were expecting someone to kind of break through, and maybe that is the issue is, no one has done it yet, and it's just out of arm's reach. Although they have very good surfers, Adriano, Gabriel Medina, you know, Miguel Pupo, any one of those guys could potentially maybe win a world title one day, but is it going to happen this year? I think Gabriel has as good a shot as any, taking the first win, feeling healthy. So I'm not going to say it's the year of the Brazilian, but it could potentially happen.
Could it be that there are no Brazilian judges?
Well, there actually are Brazilian judges. I think there's one or two that travel with the tour. I think Luli Pereira is one of them, and then I don't know the other guy's name. But, yeah, so there is maybe one on a panel of five where there might be two Australian, two American, one Brazilian. So there is a little overshadowing, but I don't think that is the reason why they don't have more success. I think that they haven't tasted top five. I mean, Adriano kind of is there the first half of certain years, and then he kind of falls into the back five, right, you know, eighth or ninth. So I don't know. I mean, are they cut out for the long haul, a whole year of competition, and do they burn out early, or do they lose interest midway through the year? I don't know exactly what it is, but I think, you know, ever since they burst onto the scene about 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and really became a force where you were like, it's not just the Americans and Australians. Now we have the Brazilians first, and then, you know, sprinkle in the Europeans, you know, 7 or 8 years ago. And now everyone, you know, Tahitian, everyone's got someone representing on the tour. But they just, it's been short. I mean, the American-Australian dominance, let's just say, has been for 30 years in surfing, since the beginning. Brazilians have been coming on for 15. Let's say they've kind of dominated the last three or four, so it's still fairly new for those guys to adjust to being in the top five.
You know, people talked about the new age surfing that Gabriel did that led to his win. Let's contrast that with Kelly Slater, who's 42, competing with a guy who's 20 years old, you know, kind of double the age. And I know I know Kelly eats healthy. I mean, he talks about it. There's an article about how he eats healthy. But you, being a veteran surfer, you know, a person who's been on the tour, you know the ins and outs, you're a commentator. How legitimate does he have a shot? You know, because when you're older, you just don't recover as fast. You know, I don't care how well you eat, and I don't care what you do. I mean, when I traveled, even going to Australia, when you're 40, it's completely different when you're 20. Traveling overseas, competing, doing all those things, it's completely different. Because although I wasn't a competitor, I did travel, you know, making skate films and ski films. And it got more difficult when I was in my 30s than it ever did when I was in my 20s. So does he really have a legitimate shot this year? I mean, let me take that back. Not a legitimate shot, but from your vantage point, looking at it, how big are the odds? It's not equal like it would be with John and Gabriel. It's got to be like it's an uphill climb.
It is an uphill climb as far as his recovery for his physical state, but you have to add in the mental state of having 11 world titles and having dominated the tour for so long, and having that on his competitors. So, you know, there is two sides of the Kelly Slater story. Yeah, he's getting older, and he's not going to recover as quick, and we're starting to see him in heats kind of, you know, for him, 70%, and he's getting beat by other tour surfers at 95%. So that's starting to kind of creep into the Kelly Slater enigma. But the other side of the coin is, you know, like Tiger says, I've won 14 majors. Kelly has 11 world titles. He almost paddles out in the water every time feeling like he can't be beat. So there is a lot of luck in surfing competition. You just never know if the judges are going to go your way, the waves come to you. So I feel as if it's based on just, you know, looking at the year, yes, Kelly has a shot at a 12th world title. Definitely a very good one. What are the odds? Used to be, what, maybe 3-1. Now I would say 10-1.
Excellent insight from Ryan Simmons, a resident surfer expert here at All Access Sports Radio. Ryan, you did it again, baby. Thank you so much for being a part of our show this week. And we'll catch up with you next week on All Action Sports Radio.
And can't wait to talk to you guys next week.
And this is our song of the week, Kate Tempest, Lonely Days.
Spent in a dream, grew up in a city where you master your pain or you end up.
All right, that's our show this week. I want to thank Jason Wyngan, Big Wave Surfer Alex Gray, skateboarder Jules Lynn, and Ryan Simmons. Thank you for being a part of our show this week, and thank you, the listener, for being a part of All Action Sports Radio. We'll see you next week here at All Action Sports Radio, and go have a killer week now. Becky had a heart broke twice. She won't risk it again. She don't want to see your heart get ruined. And now she's on her way to wash up and take the orders for spaghetti at Giuseppe's, the cafe on the corner. She did the night shift too, and masseuse at the sauna. She's putting herself through.